What's going on, y'all? Today on Black Bottom Bread, audio and book talk, we have a special guest. She's referred to as the Literary Diva and is the founder of Motown Writers Network and the Michigan Literary Writers. She's written more than 40 books and is a blogger, speaker, journalist, radio host, consultant, and more. Basically a woman with many hats. Welcome, Detroit's own Sylvia Hubbard. And with that, pay attention to her words as they are priceless. How you doing today?
Hi, how are you? Thank you. I'm great.
I'm doing great. You, first of all, I'd like to thank you for agreeing to do this podcast with me by being an upstart. I'm very appreciative for that fact.
It is an honor. Thank you. I'm always happy to talk.
Okay. The thing is, this is a podcast where we talk everything audio and book talk. Mm-hmm. And you being a major factor in the literary world, especially in Detroit. I like a few questions I'd like you to elaborate to the listeners with. Now, first question, what is your take on guerrilla marketing as it relates to skirting the law?
It depends on what law you're breaking. Like, if it's a criminal law, like, okay, yeah, I'm selling my books out in front of a store, but I did get the owner's permission to stand there. I just don't have a seller's license. Then I'm fine with that because, hey, you're out there and you're doing your hustle, hustling and grustling, you know, when you got your grind and your hustle, I have no complaints about that. Even if it is slightly law breaking, sometimes I have no problem because you're just trying to, you know, get to where you need to be no matter what. Now, when it comes to financial, right. I don't play with the IRS. I will bow down. I will say, okay, I'm sorry, whatever I did. And if somebody else, you know, I'll be like, don't be doing this to these good people. But like all the other things, long as it's not financial where I feel like, hey, they're going to get you no matter what, you know, just pay your taxes, do what you have to do. But anything else, I'm cool with it because I feel that's your grustle. That's what you need to do to get where you need to be. Long as it's not hurting nobody else.
It's like, I asked you that specific question, right? Because I'll be driving down the highway and I'll be seeing little things on the top of the overpass, uh-huh. such as cups spelling out words. Now, you know, it's a distraction. But so many people can ride past and see whatever message that you put up there. Because I seen a 1-800 number on the freeway a couple of days ago on 75. Uh-huh. And it had my mind racing. Like, man, this guerrilla marketing is fine. But it got to be some type of law to distract all these drivers.
It does. It does. And it is wrong. But hey, you should be a better driver. And maybe if the message is good enough and powerful enough, you know, it could help somebody else out. So, hey, do your thing. Yeah.
And as me being a new independent author, right, a mm-hmm. self-published author, what, not just for me, but what would you say to the new independent authors? How should they navigate the arena? Do you think it's best to stay independent until a publisher come looking for you, or should you chase a publisher while you're independent?
You can do both, whatever suits you, however you suit. I'm a control freak. So, you know, I'm good with sitting back and saying, hey, I'll wait till they come to me because I can do my thing without, you know, somebody looking over my shoulder. And even if I did get a contract, I would still find ways to publish my own work. You know, I was still, okay, I can write outside the boundaries. I can change my name to something else and write something else. You know, I would still probably do that even if I did get a big contract or something. So do whatever makes you comfortable in how you feel comfortable with publishing. Because even if you publish the wrong way and it's not what you want, you're not going to work as hard as you would if you publish the way you want it to.
You're absolutely right.
But I always say always learn about everything that's going on, because this is a business. And if you had to open up a candy store, you wouldn't just go buy a building, go buy some dollar cent, you know, penny candy and then throw it in the store. You go out there and you do your research, you know, what sugars are popular, what candies are popular. Do people like hard candy? Do people like soft candy? So don't get into the book business and just say, oh, I'm just going to do this and this is all I'm going to do. And you don't research the market well enough to know what you're doing. That's an injustice to you, that's an injustice to your legacy, and that's an injustice to your wallet.
It absolutely is. And as a person starting out, you know, I had to bump my head against the bricks a few times to figure it out, because I spent so many hours and hours and days trying to chase a publisher only to get the million rejection letters until I finally told myself I can do this myself. And if they want to come after me, they can come after me. I'm no longer chasing anybody.
Mm-hmm. Right. Your doors will open when you start. When you do the work, you'll see the work getting done.
Because I don't know if you remember, it was approximately a year ago, I had met you at the Hustle and Grind book fair.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I didn't have no product out. I was still writing it. And I asked you, you was like, I said, do you think I ought to chase a publisher, or should I put my book out on my own? And you was like, do you have a book out yet? I was like, no, I'm still writing. She was like, well, and you was like, well, before you're done writing, that's a decision you're going to have to make. And when I made that decision right there, I'm not chasing nobody no more.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No more. And there's so many people that need to hear that, because they take away from their creative aspect trying to get somebody to cave in to something there's no need to cave into.
Right.
You know, it's one of those things, especially in Detroit. People so try to get out, they're accepting anything that come to them. Do you have any experience with a bad contract?
I've not myself per se, but I've been in this business almost, somebody actually pointed out, like up almost 2 decades, and I have come across so many authors and writers who have set up bad contracts with publishers, publicists, printers, just everybody, editors, you know, so many bad contracts have come across my way where they're coming to me like, how do I get out of this? How do I create a cease and desist? How do I stop publishing this? How do I get my money back? You know, and it's because, like I said, if you do those little tiny steps to researching, you know, like you did, like you're networking with people, you're asking people questions, you're going out there banging your head like you're supposed to in order to learn this business, instead of just sitting back and saying, oh, this looks kind of good, you know, I'll do this. Then that never works in any kind of business, in any kind of way. It never works. You have to go out there. You have to do the networking. You have to ask the questions, because closed mouths don't get fed. If you are not opening up your mouth and saying, hey, I need help, or how did you do this, or finding out things, you know, you are not going to get the food you need in order to be a success.
One thing, I don't want to be stereotyping, but a lot of authors and writers are somewhat reclusive, right?
Yeah, when they're introverts.
And I name myself, namely one, because I make myself get out to do something that is not normally me. But a lot of people refuse to ask questions as it relate to writing, marketing, publishing, anything, because they don't want to be criticized for the question.
Right. But that's the point of putting your work out in front of everybody, is that you're going to get judged no matter what. Yeah, there's no easy way to say it. You putting yourself out there, you putting your work out there. So whether you put it out right, whether you put it out wrong, you are going to be judged. I've known people who put out a perfect book. I mean, you could find no editing flaw. The cover was beautiful. I mean, the story set up, she had outlined the story great. It was so good. I want to tell you, people still came over and left bad reviews. Like, I just couldn't get past the first chapter. And you're like, did you even open up the book?
Right.
So get out there. You not everybody's cup of tea, number one. Everybody should know that. And just somebody out there will like what you do, no matter how you do it, and will wait for you to correct your mistakes, you know, and still like you and cheerlead for you. So just get out there and stop worrying about that. I think with introverts, and especially creatives, we get so consumed of what will they think. Well, the only person you need to be worried about is the person who's going to be giving you money for that product. That's all you got to be worried about. Go out there, do your best, and put out a good product, and then just wait.
That's absolutely right. I was listening to some on Facebook inside the group as it relates to 7 ways to make income yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
seven different streams of income, right? Now, when you make all these streams of income, do each stream of income have to be its own business in itself?
No. So let's use me for example. I would say right now I'm at five streams of income. So there was the Motown Writers Group that brings in a minimum amount of income. Mostly it pays for itself. And then right. there's my speaking events, which is under my Motown Writers Network, where I go out and I speak and I get money for that, you know, for each appearance or do workshops and stuff like that. That's its own entity and it brings in another stream of income for me. Now, when I do say write my book. So Motown Writers and Hub Books, which is my publishing company, they're kind of under the same thing. So I'm getting royalties from them. And under that, that's even another stream that comes in from paperback, audio, and ebook. So they're all their own different types of streams that drip into my account. And then there is, you know, if I do influencing marketing, or if I do review marketing, or if I do collaboration marketing, that's its own income that comes in. But it comes in under my same company because it's me, you know, I'm that company.
So that's what myself was kind of confused with, because I was actually watching it with one of my partners, and he was telling me, like, man, I think I need to create a whole different business for each type of revenue I'm thinking about. So we going back and forth with the thing, like, no, just have it one business and different entities. And yeah, he was so
you can have an umbrella big. Company. So say that, like, my daughter, she does different stuff under her company, but her company is Glam Designs LTD. Okay. Designs Limited. So she has an LLC under that. But under that, she does her YouTube stuff. But then she also does graphic design and she does speaking. So that's three different entities that she's doing, but it's all under one umbrella. I mean, even if you go into Johnson & Johnson, a huge corporation under Johnson & Johnson, they have like over hundreds of different. They got a food part. They got a beauty section. They got a hair section. You know, it's a whole big collaboration of stuff. They got clothes. They got, you know, just different stuff. Shoes under Johnson & Johnson. All we know them as, you know, baby powder people. Exactly. But they're a huge collaboration of different stuff. It's an umbrella. So you have to look at it. Hey, under this umbrella is me. I'm holding the umbrella. But every little ring that holds up this umbrella can be something different. So does that make sense?
That make perfect sense. Now, that make perfect sense. Perfect sense at all. And I'm going to share that with everybody, not just post a podcast, but I'm going to share that in conversation. You know? Exactly. As it relates to the written work, right?
Mm-hmm.
This what I would like for you to elaborate on,
mm-hmm.
because I see Disney do it, everybody do it. When you pull intellectual property outside of your original written work, such as creating products that you design inside your own work,
mm-hmm.
do you have to say if you created a newspaper inside your book, but it's only inside your book, and then you brought it a reality? Do you have to copyright the things again that you originally copyrighted in the first book?
You don't. So if you created something inside of an original work and then you decided, hey, I like the name of that entity and I want to bring it outside. Now, if it becomes a product in itself, say that, you created this newspaper and the character ran this gossip column that was, you know, the talk of the town, like, you know, Detroit talk of the town, we'll call it that. And then you're like, hey, I love the concept of what this character created. I want to create it on my own newspaper, my own digital feed. You know, people can come. Well, that becomes its own entity then, because you're slightly changing it. It's no longer just a literary work. It's an entity. Now it's a blog post or a blog or even a podcast. Then yes, that needs to be its own trademark.
Okay.
So if you change
Because
it from a literary work to a digital work in its own right, that does become its own entity and it does need to be trademarked or copyrighted.
okay, because that's what I'm specializing in my new company, Black Bottom Bread Publishing. My aim is to pull the intellectual property that's already inside the written work and bring it to a reality, such as slogans on a t-shirt that's inside of a book. This is another stream of income from the original thought.
Right. So that does not need, because that's you're quoting literary work from inside of there. Now, if you make a t-shirt company, yes, you do need to like register that maybe as a DBA. But other
Yes.
than that, no, not what you put on the t-shirt needs to be trademarked or copyrighted because you're printing literary work.
Okay. 'Cause I don't think enough authors pay attention to everything that they create inside their work. When you're talking about multiple streams of income, it's many streams of income that never get utilized from the original thought. And that's what I want my company to promote, because the big companies, we see them do it all the time. All the time.
Well, yeah, because you have to think, even like, let's take J.K. Rowling with Harry Potter. So when she got the rights back from Harry Potter, that means all those belong to her now. So originally, she had sold the book to a publishing company and they owned it for a couple of years, only sold a couple of hundred copies, and then they just gave the rights right back to her. Now, when she went and sold that book again, she didn't sell, she sold the book. She didn't sell the rights to the characters and everything like that. So
Right.
when Harry Potter started taking off, yes, she could make pens and notepads and shirts and entities that belong to those characters. And all that money goes right back to her. It doesn't even go across the publishing company's desk. It comes straight into her bank account because she owns that. So that's how you can take a reference. You know, she took what she had in her book and used it to build a $1 billion enterprise on just material stuff that was inside her book. I mean, heck, if you buy a wand that has Harry Potter on it, it goes right back to her, straight right back to her, everything.
Okay.
So,
Okay, I
even
it
if you
just
produce a poem and say that you had a poem where you had a scene where, you know, the character reads a poem to his girl, and then you love that poem so much, you're saying, like, hey, this is a great poem for, you know, baby mama. Say it was a baby mama and he was appreciating her and how wonderful, you know, their relationship was. And then Mother's Day is coming up and you decide to do a poster where everybody can buy this poem. So you're receiving an income from that. You don't have to copyright it again though, because it's still a literary work.
okay, that's
Now,
very
if somebody comes and makes a play about just that poem, then it becomes its own literary work and you would have to copyright that.
Man, that was clarification right there. Real clarification. You know, it's just so much in a short time that I wanted to tap your brain, because you've been in this industry for a long time and kind of successful what you do. So I want all my listeners to take everything they can from you, just like I'm doing, because your time is very valuable, and I appreciate sharing
Thank
with all of us.
you. I love sharing. I love the helping people. I mean, you ask me a question, I have to answer it because I want to be an asset, not a liability to society. So.
Okay. Now this is something I think that we all go through, most of us, as fathers, parents, and mothers. What's your take on running a business, which takes a lot of time, and running your family household, which takes a lot of time?
Actually, that's what I have been discussing a lot lately, and people have asked me that because, you know, I've raised three kids. You know, I was a single mom for over 20 years. While I was running a business, working full time and not getting any income from anywhere else, you know, like some people get, you know, baby daddy checks or They get, some type of support from the government in terms of food stamps or anything like that. I was getting absolutely nothing. So my straight 9 to 5 supported me, my family, and my, the small stuff I could put away for my business. What I'd say to people is keep focus on your dreams, keep focus on your dreams and really try to work them around everything that you have to do. I know being a single mom is horrible and hard because it's a 24/7 job. It's no rest for the weary. No one comes to save you. No one's gonna come and, help you raise those kids. You're gonna have to do it all your own. But never take your eyes off of that passion that you have. Because that's your happy place. That's what's going to keep you going from day to day to day. If you can't afford to do your dreams, then write them down, plan them out, So as soon as you get the opportunity to follow your dreams, you can jump right on it. Because I think that's what happens to people is that, we get so caught up with, okay, yeah, I got to raise my kids. I got to do this. I got to take care of the bills. I got to take care of my house. And I'm just going to keep focused on that. And then someone walks in their life and say, hey, I know you used to write a long time ago, and I would love for you to, come work on a publishing project with me. Do you have anything already written? And all you can say is, well, no, because I've been focusing on my house and my dream. I put my dreams aside. Don't ever put your dreams aside. Take your hour of the day, write a couple of, times, do a couple of chapters. Always have something going, never just be empty in your dream bucket. Never, ever, ever make time to do it, even if it's just planning it out, writing it out, getting more product done. And I can even go back and say for Stephen King, he got turned down so many times. I think they said Carrie got turned down over 200 times. Over
Exactly.
200 times. And his wife, he threw it in the trash. He threw Carrie in the trash and his wife fished it out and kept pushing it. So it
Right.
wasn't Stephen King that pushed it, but what he did not stop doing, even though he threw Carrie in the trash, he did not stop writing more work. He was still writing work even after that. Even while he was submitting, he was writing new work. So
Right.
that goes to show, yes, he gave up on that particular part of his dream, but he still kept writing more and more and more books to the point of when he did finally get a publishing contract, he was coming out with so many books, he had to get a pseudonym in order to equivalate that he could come out with that many works at one time.
Exactly. I sure appreciate the insight.
Right.
But that's a dilemma for many,
Yeah,
including myself.
it's hard because you get pulled by the kids, you get pulled by your family because of course they don't think, your writing is anything. They think that's just a hobby or something. And then you're getting pulled by your job. So it's like, hey, I work 16 hours, literally. Literally 16 hours. I still got to come home and be a mama, be a household winner, get these kids to bed and spend at least 15 minutes. Okay, I can do one chapter today. I can do half a chapter, but never give up. I'm going to tell you that. And that's what I did. It's like I never gave up. And even my son noted, he said, Mama, whenever you wasn't taking care of us or taking care of the house, you would be writing. That's basically all he remember is that me, I was in front of a keyboard, and trying to finish off a book or trying to market something or trying to get something done. But he always saw me working on my dreams some kind of way.
Right. Speaking of writing, could you let everybody know what you're currently working on?
I am currently working on actually a live book, which is called He Touched Me. And a live book means is that I do write romance suspense. So every week, my readers get to come and read a free story, a chapter of a free story that I'm working on, and actually read as I write the book. And He Touched Me is basically about a woman whose life is kind of ending, where she finds out her boyfriend Well, her fiance cheated on her and she just lost everything and she's kind of starting her life back over again. And then she's got like an exciting opportunity where she can kind of sit back and get her life together while she becomes mistress to this other guy.
Wow,
Yeah,
live book, live book.
it's a live
Could
book. My newly published book that's out now, it's called Black's Innocence. And it's about a girl who, it's about a woman actually who plans for the perfect life with the perfect guy. And she's not prepared for the enemy coming in and destroying everything that she planned for.
that sound like it's ready for the big screen. Could you let everybody know your social media and websites?
Yes, you can always visit me at sylviahubbard.com and subscribe for updates there. I'm also on, of course, Facebook is Sylvia Hubbard, and I have a page there as well. And you can Twitter and Instagram and YouTube at Sylvia Hubbard One. All three of those are the same handle, Sylvia Hubbard, the number one. I also, you can join Motown Writers Network if you're a reader or writer and you know you want to get to your literary goal or you're interested in connecting with Michigan authors at MotownWriters.com. And we
I'm
also
a member of everything. Sorry about that.
That's all right. And we have a Facebook page as well, and you can join there. And we're still continuing our second Saturdays, actually, every second Saturday. And we'll have a great presentation by Self-Publishing with Dell next month. So we hope, you know, all those writers who want to know more about marketing their book, come out and listen to what Dell has to say on our Facebook Live group.
I'd like to thank you once again for your time. And I ask all my listeners, hope I get listeners all over the writing community to pay attention to what Sylvia Hubbard said and tap into all her products. Any parting words?
Never give up. Whether you are a writer, whether you're a reader, whatever creative you are wanting to do, whatever business you want to do, never give up on your dreams, because what you have is a gift that other people need. You were put on this planet with only you being able to do that gift. Do not deny other people that opportunity to learn from you, to grow from you, and to heal from you.
That's right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to another episode of Black Bottom Braille Audio and Book Talk. We enjoyed our special guest today, Sylvia Hubbard. Hope everybody paid attention to what she said, because what she said was priceless.